Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
A lot of the values that I've been talking about and will be talking about are the values that we have throughout our movement. They're just reworded in a different way. So for instance, last week I talked about worship. Worship is our response to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, where we offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Worship is not what we just did with Charles and Lily leading us in song. Worship is a life given to God. It costs us something. And so that's our response for all he's done for us. After we were talking about mercy and grace, our response to that mercy and grace is to worship, right? Amen? And so the second value we're going to be talking about in our This Is Us series is the value of discipleship. And it says here, we are committed to Christ's commission for us to make disciples. We aim to be disciples of Jesus and make disciples by engaging the culture of our city with the gospel, establishing and equipping these disciples of Christ in their journey with God, and releasing these spirit-empowered leaders to be a Christ-like influence. Now, if I can ask you to stand in reverence for the reading of God's word, we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 28. We're going to read the last five verses of that chapter. So if you have your Bible, you can go there to Matthew 28. I will have it on the screen and we can read it together. Let's read together. One, two. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The title of my message today is Next Up. Father, we thank you, God, that after you left it to us, that we are next up. And Lord, you promise us, even in the book of early in the book of Matthew, that those who choose to follow you will have the opportunity to see even greater works. And so, God, we come expecting for you to move in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, I want to move out of the way that you would speak to us, your children, and that we'd hear directly from you today. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the empowerment of your purpose in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. For those of you who haven't been around us for that long, some of you may not realize that, we are a church that values discipleship. And I'm going to be explaining discipleship by explaining, firstly, what it's not. The Greek word for disciple that's used in the New Testament, especially here, is the word mathetes, which means to imitate somebody who teaches, okay, to follow a teacher. But we're going to break this concept down even more, because if you notice how the disciples were to walk with Jesus, it wasn't based on a decision as much as it was based on the journey with Christ. Discipleship is a journey. Everybody say that. Discipleship is a journey. We're on a journey. And so I liken discipleship. There's a guy by the name of Dr. Rick Richardson who wrote a book, Reimagining Evangelism. And he talks about the process of evangelism and discipleship being like the dating process, the courtship process, where if you're introducing Jesus to somebody, you kind of walk with them, see if it's going to be a fit, and then, there's a moment when you pop the question, and that question is popped, do you want to follow Jesus, or do you not? Oh, okay, I'll follow Jesus, and then you journey with Christ, then there's a beautiful wedding, and then you walk, and you bear fruit in that marriage. As the bride of Christ, we bear fruit with the intimacy that we have with Christ. There's fruit that is born, and that fruit is disciples. And so it's a journey. It's a journey. It's not just a one-time hit. Okay, I'm saved, and then I got to kind of figure it out. No, we journey with Christ. He journeys with us. And here at Every Nation Brisbane, yes, we believe that discipleship is relationship. And that's not original with me. That's original with a couple of our leaders, Pastor Steve Murrow and Pastor Joey Bonifacio. If you get around these leaders of our movement, you'll hear them always say that discipleship is relationship. And that relationship is a journey. It's journeying with people. It's not just showing up to events. Are you with me? Discipleship is not an event. The events facilitate the journey. Now, you want to understand this, okay? There is the fluidity of the relationship, but it is funneled within a structure to help it be expediently a process where somebody grows quicker. Rather than being like a pinball that kind of just hits this mark, okay, I'll just go wherever the Holy Spirit leads me or wherever my trials lead me, boing, 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 you know, like just kind of roaming around, wandering aimlessly. How many of you know that if the disciples, well, not the disciples, the people of Israel were under this discipleship process where they were following the leading of the Holy Spirit and their mentor Moses, they would have actually made it from Egypt to Canaan within 11 days. It's an 11-day journey from Egypt to Canaan. How long did it take them? 40 years. That's the difference between being a Christian who makes a decision to follow Jesus but kind of roams around without any mentorship, without anybody helping them to develop that relationship with God. It's the difference between 40 years and 11 days. How many of you would prefer to get where you need to go in 11 days? And it's understanding that discipleship is the journey into the promise, not just the promise. Because how many of you know you still need a journey when you receive the promise to grow in handling the process of the promise when you get it, when you walk into it? It's not just like a romantic comedy that ends with the wedding. That's why they end at the wedding, because if they showed you the struggles of having kids and bringing your kids to church in the morning, that's not going to make any money for the romantic comedy, diba, for my Filipinos. Because I know a lot of your films and telenovelas have a lot of endings at weddings, but there's a lot more trial after the wedding that unfortunately is not that romantic. There's nothing romantic about those Korean TV shows. They always end at the wedding. My best friend's wedding. 4 weddings and a funeral. Like, they're always a wedding, right? So let's talk about this process. Here at Every Nation Brisbane, we have what we call the 4 E's. And if you've been around Every Nation globally, you'll hear about these 4 E's. Firstly, we engage. We engage our culture and we engage our community, which means that Christianity is a lot more than this. According to Ephesians 4, this exists so that I can equip the saints for the work of ministry. We are all ministers, and God has called us to engage culture and engage community. Now, not all of us are called to different sectors of the community. Some of us are entrepreneurs and business people and are called to engage those who are in those realms of influence. Some of us are in education, teachers like my sister Bianca, who are called to engage in education. Some of us are on campus like Rasheen, and some of us are students on campus right now in this season of our lives. Some of us might be students for the rest of our lives. I've seen those when I was at university, and then I go back and visit the university and they're still there, not a professor, still studying, just trying to add more letters to the end of their name. But that's their sphere of influence. Every single one of us has a sphere of influence. And many of you have heard me quote Rick Warren, the pastor of Saddleback Church. He describes evangelism by doing what you are doing, but doing it around lost people, being an example of Christ in that situation. And so some of us might think, oh, you know what? I'm a parent. I don't have time for discipleship and evangelism. Well, if you do what you do, meaning parenting well amongst those who don't know Christ and letting them see the example of how you bring up a child in Christ, doesn't have to be perfect. Again, it's a journey. But journeying alongside them, it's amazing how you engage that sector of your community with the gospel. In fact, you know, when people see our failures, not that we try to fail. I don't think anybody here wakes up in the morning and goes, you know what, I'm going to fail today. But you know, we try to live out in Christ even when we do fail. It's amazing how the grace of God will cover a multitude of sins and people will still be drawn to the Christ in us, not us. But it's doing what God's called us to do in engaging in community. Then we establish, and this is where we have foundations. And I want to reiterate, for those of you who have not done our Foundations for Victory class, it's not too late. Please come after the service and join us for the baptisms and then join us for the class. It's going to help you in your walk. Please, again, it's the difference. The difference is making sure that these foundations are solid. In fact, I want to invite those of you who already done it and said, oh, you know what, I know all that stuff. But let me just encourage you one more time that it's not about you. Like, it's also important for you to establish your foundations, be able to communicate those foundations to others so you can help others grow in their foundations. And that's why it's so important to test your foundations, make sure there's no cracks in there. And I would encourage those of you who are thinking, man, you know what? I haven't engaged with anybody with the knowledge of who Christ is in my life. I need to know the basics of Christianity so that I can communicate them. Well, join us for foundations. So that's where we get established in our faith, and we equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and then we empower them and release them to see them effectively reach society. This church is going to be a church that will plant churches. That's part of our journey. Like right now, we're in the stage of building a solid foundation within our community, but it's definitely on the books. I envision that we will plant churches all over the city and plant churches all over this nation and plant churches all over the islands and into the rest of the world. It's going to happen from this place, but it's all dependent on how we build now in our foundations. Some of y'all are looking at me like, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a leader, or you know, a ministry leader full-time. Wherever God's called you, we're all called to make disciples. You don't have to be a full-time minister to do that. It's just being the salt and the light of the earth wherever God's called you to. So when we look at these foundations, look, I want you to see the process here. We engage the culture and community. We have these tools and events that help to facilitate this journey. So we have the one-to-one tool. For those of you who are not familiar with the one-to-one, if you are a relatively new believer, I encourage you to go through one-to-one with somebody that is firm in their faith. Again, if you haven't done one-to-one, please come and see myself, and I'll be happy to point you in the direction of somebody that will help you, or you can talk to any of our staff. I've got Henry here or Roisin up there, or you can go to the guest services corner. We want you to get established in your faith. But one-to-one is a book, or you can get the app where you just sit with somebody one-to-one and they help you to understand the basic tenets of our faith as Christians, okay? And so that's important, and that's a tool that we use to engage. Then Foundations for Victory, which is the learning event that we have later today. Victory Weekend, that's also where we baptize as well. Victory Weekend and Foundations for Victory. We encourage you to join us for that. Then we have the Making Disciples class that's just coming up, and that's to equip life group leaders. So if you are a life group leader and you haven't done Making Disciples, we encourage you to come along to make sure we're doing life group correctly and most effectively. And then lastly, we have Leadership 215. Now, I won't go into all of these, but just so you know, we don't do discipleship by accident here. There's processes and ways that we love to grow. It's much like, okay, the fluidity of relationship inside the pipe, the pipeline of the journey, so that people are able to funnel that water. Because if you don't have a pipe, water just goes everywhere, right? But if you have a pipe that helps to funnel the fluidity of relationship in the direction it needs to go, then you're able to see where that growth is headed. And we're able to help you see where that growth is headed. And not all of us are called to full-time church ministry as such, but we want to equip you to be the most effective carriers of the gospel wherever you're called. And that's what's going to help you. So that's our process here at Every Nation. And it's being refined, and it's being refined, but this is where it's at as of now. Cool? Is that all right? Here's the context, right? We only have 11 disciples left. Obviously, Judas is no longer there. He has unfortunately committed suicide, being the one who betrayed and pointed Jesus towards the cross. So there's only 11 disciples. Now, I think that's really important to understand that. That kind of helped me breathe as one who is bent on making disciples. That Jesus had a disciple who was flaky. Anybody else kind of exhale on that? I remember, like, when I first started reaching out and making disciples, I remember one of the first guys I mentored, it didn't work out that well. Let me just say that, okay? Put it that way. He walked away from the faith in quite a dramatic fashion, to be honest. And I was discouraged because I thought, man, I'm terrible at this. But then I looked at the example of Jesus Christ, who was perfect, lived a perfect life, and was perfect in all of your ways. Like, he was perfect in everything that he did, right? But his treasurer betrayed him. That kind of helped me to exhale a little bit, right? That God, and wrapped in human flesh, if we were to look at Jesus' model of discipleship, we would think, oh, what a failure. This guy betrayed him. And then Peter, his closest associate, the one he poured the most life into, was the one who denied. No, I don't know who Jesus is. Denied him 3 times. So how many of you know, okay, we're in good company if things don't work out. Not that we don't want them to work out, but like you can wait to exhale now. Now you can exhale, all right? The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain. Mountain speaks of a high place, a place of exaltation, right? The mountains around the area of Galilee was where Jesus taught his first sermon, and now he's about to give his last exhortation from a mountain in Galilee to where Jesus had directed them. Now, it's important to see that, number one, they went to a place that God showed them. How many of us, when somebody tells you, okay, if somebody was to tell you, okay, the Holy Spirit is leading us to a mountain, like at the first sight or hearing about a mountain, we're like, oh, no, that can't be God. Let's pray about that again. I don't like climbing and stuff. You know, there was no cars. For those of you who thought, oh, it's like Mount Kutha, you can just drive up. No, you have to climb this mountain. But they climbed the mountain as was directed. So a major component of discipleship is obedience. Okay? Obedience to the Holy Spirit. And we're going to get to this and explore this a little bit more, because discipleship is actually teaching people how to obey the Holy Spirit, obey the Word of God. Next verse says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. What was Jesus' response? Did Jesus say to them, okay, the guys that doubt, out, reroute, like the bridge, reroute and out, the guys that doubt, yo, check it out. But the guys that worshipped him were responding, obviously, like we were saying, as Jesus and what his lordship displays deserves a response. But there were still some who doubted. In John's encounter, we read about Thomas, who came to the party late, which is another sermon in and of itself. You come late, you start to doubt. So everybody's there and they're worshiping Jesus, but Thomas comes late and he sees Jesus, and the Bible says he became full of doubt, meaning like he was looking at Jesus going, psh, ha, whatever, man. What did Jesus tell him? You know what, doubter, get out. What did he do? He invited him to come closer and check out his hands and his feet. Let me tell you, that this church is a place where it's okay to be a doubter, as long as you bring your doubts towards Jesus. I won't be able to answer your doubts, but it's amazing what the Holy Spirit will be able to do as he speaks to those who doubt. Because there's, you know, apologetics can only get you so far, but there's stuff that the Holy Spirit can do, and an encounter with the Holy Spirit can do to completely rock the doubts out of your life. Jesus invites those who doubt. And definitely invites those who worship. He responds to faith, but he also responds to doubt with like, you know what, I get it. Come feel my hands and my feet. Now, there aren't physical hands and feet. But if you read the scriptures, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. And he wants to see, the doubters need to see Jesus alive in us. And that's when the doubt dissipates. Can people see Christ in us? See, discipleship is understanding that despite doubt, or worship, we come towards him. Discipleship is a journey towards Christ. It's not linear. Like a lot of people say, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10 or 0 to 10, minus 10 to 0 is the cross, and then 0 to 10 is our advancement towards God. Some might think of discipleship that way. You know, you start far away from Jesus. Let's say in the middle here is the cross of Jesus Christ and encountering the gospel message. Discipleship is okay. Make the decision and then walk away. How many of you know it's a lot deeper than that? It's the discipleship journey is actually the journey towards Christ all the time. And we don't fully get there until we embrace him in eternity. It's the journey towards him, that even in the moment that we make the decision to follow Christ, and unfortunately that's the misnomer, is that people think, okay, it's just to get saved, get my fire insurance. No, it's the journey towards Christ. It's the journey with him. Many of you in this room know how much life, quote unquote, sucks without Jesus, right? And as we get the revelation of who he is, the journey, you know, it's harder but easier. It's harder because we begin, you know, we weren't tempted when we were far away from God. We just did what we wanted to do. But now that we are, the illumination of God's word is made available to us, we start to see, okay, the way that I used to walk is no longer worthy of the worship that I need to give him. And therefore, there needs to be this realignment of my priorities. My habits need to go. And so I need to submit them to Jesus. Now, how many of you know that some of those things are instantaneous and some of those things are a journey? But if you journey with Jesus, it's amazing how when you magnify him, how the smaller things in life start to fade away into the background. And that's the journey of discipleship. You journey towards Jesus. You come closer and closer to him and closer to him. How many of you have had some, you know, people that you know, they're extremely close when they talk to you, like you can feel like the mist, wonderful incense coming from their mouth? It is uncomfortable to come. Like, if it's that uncomfortable when you come to close to somebody of humanity, imagine how uncomfortable it is to come in the presence of somebody completely holy, completely worthy of all praise, completely omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent, all-powerful. We know that he's the light of the world. But if his light can't even compare to the sun, how many of you know it's bad for your eyes when you look at the sun? It's good what the sun does for us. Get a tan, you can see stuff. But when you look directly at the sun, it's like, oh man, I can't handle that. Imagine that times infinity when you look at the glory of God. And so that's what it means to come closer to him, because the closer you come to him, the more you realize, wow, just how wretched we are, but how much he desires to draw us closer to him because of this saving grace that he has for us. Discipleship is a journey towards God. Verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority. Everybody say all authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. People forget about this part of the Great Commission. This is actually the start of what we call the Great Commission. All authority. How much does that leave for all of you, to the mathematicians in here? If he has 100%, what percentile or percentage? Percentile makes me seem wiser when I say percentile. What percentile does that leave with you? That's not a trick question, by the way. I think translated into the Greek, it's voila. Or the Hebrew, mayor. Nothing. There's nothing. Nothing left. Okay? If he has it all, you have nothing. Liaisimea kokoe for the Psalm 1s in here. Nothing left. Okay? Absolutely nothing. So if he has all authority, then what makes you think I can make disciples, Jesus? Because you got all the authority. That's why in this next verse, as we recognize his authority, we recognize that we need to lean on that authority. We need to lean on the fact that the Holy Spirit needs to look under our hood from time to time and check out the internals of what's going on in our engine, our spiritual engine, and the condition of it. But some of us, you know, I'm kind of shy. Discipleship is trusting the relationships that the Holy Spirit leads you into. Now, it's not the naivete, so to speak, where you just open your life to everybody that comes along. Look at me, you know, look at my sin. And that's just stupid. Look, you don't need to do that. But trusting the Holy Spirit as you journey towards him, you trust who God is leading you to entrust those things to. Good sign of that is you don't trust somebody who gossips, right? You want to trust somebody who's bearing fruit. In evangelism, you want to trust somebody who's growing, not who's been a Christian longer. There's a difference between those who have been a Christian for a long time and those who are growing. The difference is in the fruit. Can you see that this person is actively reaching out to people who know God? Because fruit is measured by those who you bear in discipleship. Yes, it's Christian character. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. But John 15 talks about how fruit is disciples. So it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. In fact, there's a lot of rotten trees in Christianity that just choose to point their rotten branches and just criticize everything that's going on. Ah, this church over here, this church over there, that doctrine, that pastor over there. If they're not bearing fruit, please don't trust your life to them. Good trees cannot bear bad fruit. Bad trees cannot bear good fruit. The difference is where your root structure is, right? If your roots are deeply in God and your roots are deeply in the Holy Spirit, then the sap of the life of Jesus Christ will form fruit. And that's what you want to do. So if the authority of the one who empowers us to, if that authority lies in the disciple maker, as we trust in him, then you can begin to recognize the relationships that God wants you to trust. And I'm actually kind of skeptical when people come up to me just because of, look, I don't look at it as a title. Pastor is what I do. So I respect those of you who call me Pastor Nelly. I mean, I thank you for recognizing that, but I don't want you to see me as Jesus, right? My heart is that people in here are also empowered by the same Holy Spirit, and they also can make disciples. In fact, when somebody opens their life up to me just because of a title, that causes skepticism, because you should give that trust to somebody whom the Holy Spirit has led you to through the journey and discipleship of relationship, not of title, not of tenure, how long you've been a Christian. Don't pop your hood to just anybody. At the same time, when the Holy Spirit leads you to the right people who can help you to grow, then I encourage you to open your life up and let them help you to grow. Let them help to take out the parts of your life that are not going to help you to grow. That's part of what John 15 talks about in discipleship, right? Is to trim those parts of the branches that are not bearing fruit out so that you can bear more fruit. Don't get offended when you're corrected by these people. When you've begun to entrust these people, like, oh, yeah, speak it, Helios, speak into my life, bro. Man, I see your fruit. And then he's like, you know what, Nelly? Let me help you in ministry. Here's a mint. I'm like, you know where to take those mints, mate. Like, no, I'll be amiss. Let me give you a tip, okay? If anybody ever offers you a mint, take it, okay? Whether or not you have bad breath, take it, just in case. All right, that's a discipleship tip for all of y'all. Help yourself. Take two, one for now, one for later, if they'll let you, right? Don't be greedy and take the whole packet. But if Helios is the one that God has led me to open my life up to him, and he corrects me in love, then I should know that God has sent me him into my life as an anchor into my life. And therefore, like in my hurt, like trimming a tree would hurt a tree if it had nerves, but like it would hurt. But I know that God is working all things for good through those who put in my life. And so I need to open up my life. Yeah, okay, give me that mint. Give me that mint, bro. Some of y'all gonna check my breath later. I'm just kind of conscious now. Kind of conscious now, to be honest. So if he has all authority, verse 19 says, go therefore, okay? Whenever you see the word therefore, you've got to understand why it's therefore, right? Because that means that what that verse is therefore, you have to take into account what came before it. And what came before it? All authority comes from Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Meaning that the only way that we're going to make disciples effectively is if we trust in the one who has all authority. Right? Don't try and go out with your multi-level marketing discipleship scheme and try to make it work. Work, work, work. You can't do that, okay? Try and work your schemes into discipleship. In this church, we believe that discipleship takes effectiveness mostly in two venues. One is in one-to-one discipleship, when you are with somebody in relationship and they can help you in your growth. But more effectively in life groups, in groups where you can, as a community, help one another. Now, let me give you the benefits of both. I encourage you to get involved in both. The reason being is that in one-to-one discipleship, it's a lot easier to open your stuff up and say, you know what, in a group I couldn't share this, but this is what I'm really going through. The danger of that is that you become so focused on that person discipling you if you're not in a group that you start to see that person eclipse the Holy Spirit. Whereas in a group, there's the sense of community, that connectivity, but it might be a little bit harder for you to open your life up. And that's why I suggest both. I suggest it's good to have somebody that can speak into your life in that sense. Don't just get people that will just agree to everything that you do. Make sure that they're people that will actually correct you and actually give you advice that will help you and confront you when necessary. It's like, you know, if you got a personal trainer, right? You go to the gym and you get a personal trainer, so I've heard. Just kidding. And all they did was, yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, even though, you know, you're going to tear your shoulder out if you do the bench press that way. Like, yeah, sure, I don't care. I'm just getting more $50 every session. You know, like, that's terrible. That's not good training. And it's the same thing with discipleship. Therefore, go and make disciples of just your own nation? No, of what? All nations, okay? Nations beyond your own. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Again, discipleship, a major part of discipleship is being baptized. Now, you might think, oh, personality, that's just getting a pool and getting dunked. No, there's more to it than that. When you come from Malaysia, like some of my friends here, you understand the weight of discipleship and baptism especially. Because baptism is a public declaration that for some of our Islamic brothers and sisters, if they make a decision to come out of Islam and go follow Christ, they can be killed for that in some nations. So when they get baptized, there's a lot more at cost. Why? Because it's a public declaration that I'm no longer following any other God but the God of Christianity, the God of Jesus. Jesus Christ is my God. And so I encourage you, those of you who have not been baptized, to make that public declaration. It's a powerful statement in your faith to say, I'm sold out completely to follow him. If you haven't been baptized, come and see me after the service. I really want to encourage you. We'll find shorts. Don't worry. If that's your issues, you know, I don't have shorts. Look, if shorts is stopping you from progressing in your eternity, heck, I will go to Big W and get you some little W's, all right? I'll do whatever it takes for you to progress in your faith, and I think you should too. So please, if you haven't been baptized, come see me after the service, and we want to help you in your journey to follow God. Okay, so baptism, then the next verse, teaching them to observe. Again, teaching them to obey that all that I've commanded you, and behold, the King James says, and lo, I am with you always. How often is he with us? On Tuesdays after 5 p.m.? Like toll calls to some of our nations, you know, get a better rate. No, when can we call on God? When is he there for us? Always. So here's the burger. And I'm just saying this not because I'm hungry, but it starts with his authority. That's the first bun. Then the meat of it is go make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe and obey. So it's go make disciples, be baptized, and baptize them. And then teach them how to obey. Those three elements of discipleship need to happen. You need to go, okay? Not invite. Inviting's good, but God prefers going. Go, baptize, and teach. And then the bottom bun is, and lo, I am with you always. So the one who has authority is with us always as you go and make disciples. Is that cool? Does that help your understanding? So the last aspect of discipleship is spirit-led learning. Spirit-led learning. Teaching them to observe all, every aspect. We have, you know, all of these learning events. We have Leadership 215. We have this leadership course that we run, which will be starting in June, which will help you to have a deeper knowledge of Scripture and how to interpret the Scriptures, how to minister effectively in your sphere of influence. We're going to encourage you to take part in that if you've gone through the rest of the process. It says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Here is what discipleship is in essence. Spirit-led learning. It's recognizing authority. It's heading towards Jesus. It's being baptized and baptizing others. It's radical obedience, and it's going. Discipleship is not just hanging out. There's a difference. Discipleship is not hanging out, unless it's to grow up. Don't just hang out without growing up. Okay? A lot of people say, oh yeah, it was discipleship. You know, we met up at KFC and talked about, you know, how the Auckland Blues aren't doing very well, and neither are the Queensland Red. What is it with these colored teams, you know? Just need to better, and that's disciple. That's not discipleship. That's hanging out. Okay, if God's not at the center, it doesn't mean, okay, Pastor Nelly said that I'm a disciple of Christ. That means I can't have fun anymore. I need to be serious with the salt of the earth, and I need to look like I've been swallowing salt every time I'm with you. Just look salty. No, that's not it. Fun is not the objective. Fun is important, but it's not the objective. Jesus is the objective. But how many of you know when you walk with Jesus, it is fun, right? There's a lot more fun walking with Jesus than there is you conjuring up some plan. At the same time, discipleship is not closed Bible study where you don't invite those who don't know Christ. Like, the whole point is to go and make disciples. So for some of us who may say, you know, my life group is us four and no more. It's people who know Christ. That's a Bible study, and that's great, but just call it what it is. It's a Bible study. Like, in life group, we have a Bible, we study the Bible, but the objective, again, is Jesus and drawing people towards Jesus in this journey, whether you know God, but also making it a place where people that don't know God feel comfortable to come towards God. Amen? So on one side of the spectrum, it's not just hanging out and not talking about God. On the other side of the spectrum, it's not all about churchianity, but it's about empowering people towards Christianity, which means to go out. And so it's an environment where you can invite those who don't know Christ. Let me ask you, if those of you who are life group leaders here, would a lost person or person that is unchurched, completely far away from the knowledge of who God is and not of your culture, would they feel comfortable at your life group coming in? I want to encourage you to create that environment where those who don't know Christ can come towards him. So that's not just in life groups, but that's in life, period. Is your life the sort of life where Jesus is not on display at all? Or is your life the sort of life where those who do know Christ can come towards you as you follow Christ, but also those who don't know Christ feel comfortable to talk to you about Christ and Christianity? My heart is being a pastor, carrying the title of pastor. Sometimes I regretfully spend a lot of time around those who don't know Christ. In fact, you know, having come from the Philippines and been in all these meetings, I had to make an active choice to walk down the middle of High Street and BGC and actually engage with some of the people that were out there. And I didn't go there bashing them with the Bible. I just went engaged with people who were working in customer services and just telling them about what we got going on at the church over there, for those of you who came from Victory, and just talking to them about God. That's what it is. Engaging. Is your life engaging? You ever been to a movie that's engaging? You ever been to a movie that's not engaging? I don't want my life to be that movie that I'm like, not really feeling it. It was good for the first 15 minutes, but, you know, just not really feeling it right now. Gosh, wasted my $16. Should have gone to Cineplex for $6.50. Oh, my gosh. I'll just watch it. Wait till it comes out on Netflix. I don't want your life to be a wait till it comes out on Netflix. I want your life, every single one of your lives, and this is my closing point. Every single one of our lives should be the sort of life where people queue up and is pre-sale tickets to seeing how engaging your life is, not the trailer. One man saved all his money to buy a house. His life revolved around purchasing his house. Come join us for the blockbuster of the year, house purchase. How many of you would want to watch that movie, man? That's not the journey we're a part of. That's not the journey that Jesus died for. The journey of discipleship is exciting. It's enjoyable. It's riveting. People will watch it. And the sort of movies that you want to watch are where people go through stuff, go through trials, but they form a team like the Avengers, Infinity War, right? This is the real Infinity War. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we an army fighting against the powers and the principalities in a battle that, spoiler alert, it's already won.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.